welcome to the LarryNFishers.com podcast. I'm Larry Lanham. Two local entrepreneurs, David Decker and Travis Tucker, have announced plans for the new hub and spoke development on 106th Street near I-69. I invited Sam Quinn of the Indianapolis Business Journal to join the conversation. I recorded the discussion during the afternoon of Wednesday, December 19th. I'm at the Hamilton East Library here in Fishers, the new Ignite space. We're sitting in the television studio, which has super great sound quality, which is why we're here, great acoustics. So if you've not seen the Ignite space, the artist's dream is down here. They have 3D printers. You just have to see it for yourself. So I would highly recommend you come to the Hamilton East Library here in Fishers at the Municipal Complex, and they'll give you a tour. They'll be glad to show everything off here that is available, and there is quite a bit available. Today our topic is the new hub and spoke development in Fishers. We had David Decker and Travis Tucker with us. So, Misters Decker and Tucker, thank you so much for bringing with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Joy talking to you. And Sam Quinn of the Indianapolis Business Journal, the North of 96th reporter, is joining us today. Sam, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for inviting me.
I'll kind of start it off, and then we'll turn it over to you. But I do want to start off with the following question. I want to know how the two of you dreamed up this idea of hub and spoke, and once you did, how you made that a reality.
You want me to start?
Yeah, start it up.
Then we'll have Travis start.
All right. So there's a long story and a short story, but I'm going to start with the long story, and David tells the short story. I started my own company in January of this year, and I've known David since high school, and David's a successful business owner. And as my new business is being a commercial real estate development company and services company, I thought I would call the people that were, you know, leaders in the industry and see if there was any opportunities I could help them out with their real estate and real estate challenges. So I called David, and we got together, and he said that his lease was coming up, and he was thinking about maybe relocating or trying to elevate his exposure to his business in the industry. So we started looking at some different locations in Carmel. That led to a conversation about trying to bring together some of his other friends in the business that are also complementary to what he does in the kitchen and bath and construction remodeling business. And that led to us finding a site. And then that led to me sitting over here at the One Zone event where the mayor was talking about his vision to bring the community to the classroom to the community.
That was the State of the City address last year.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And he had brought up to the table there Dr. Borf with HSE Schools and a representative of Connor Prairie. And they
that would have been Norman Burns,
that's right,
their CEO.
That's right, yeah. And so they were talking about how they had kind of worked a pilot program where they were putting the community in classroom and putting in a teacher in residence over at Connor Prairie. And that reminded me of our project and what we were working on in the industry with David. And then ultimately what David and I had met about just catching up for a beer a couple years prior to that, where he was telling me some of the biggest struggles in his industry is where's the labor going to come from? He's got a lot of runway in front of him being a leader, and he's thinking, how am I going to find labor? And if I can get labor in my industry, I'm going to be able to be more competitive. And one ultimately thought he wanted to start some type of school or education program for workforce development. And so those two things in my mind just immediately connected, and I thought, I'm going to reach out to the mayor and see if he'd be interested in trying to create this classroom community concept and then bringing all of the people we were talking about in Carmel over to Fishers, creating a design center, and then see if we can do something really entrepreneurial and creative and do something that the education workforce development concept.
So what's David's side of the story?
So pretty close. That don't really was a long version, but he's absolutely correct. You know, we got together. We've known each other a long time. And when I started my construction business 15 years ago, I had this dream of creating a space where there was multiple tenants in the industry. We could come together, collaborate, share ideas, and grow together. And so that's where we kind of started talking about that, and that's kind of where the design concept was born. I just wasn't in a position to do it, and I couldn't have done it on my own. And so I think what's really awesome about this relationship is that I don't think any party here could do it on their own. And so it takes a really good developer. It takes a city and a community behind it. It takes a school system, and it takes somebody with a deep domain knowledge of the industry to bring it all, you know, put it all together. And so I think just we've got really a dream team, and I don't know how anyone anywhere else could create and come together and collaborate and create something so awesome.
I know you guys touched a little bit about the skilled trades aspect of this. Why don't you talk a little bit about the partnerships you guys have with the schools and how that's going to work to try to make sure that we have the labor we need for these industries in the future?
Yeah, so that's you're exactly right. And so what we've realized as an industry is that there's not an exposure to kids in primary and secondary education, and that's a big reason why we're missing part of the workforce. And so what's happened over time, we've had the recession, and that workforce is aging, and so there's people that have dropped out or are getting of an older age, and they're retiring from the industry, and there's not new people entering the industry. And so there's this lack of exposure and experience that's given to kids, and so we're working with the school systems to create that, where we can bring them in and show them all the possibilities and the opportunity within the industry and get them excited about it, so that hopefully they'll say, hey, I want to be a part of that, and how do I do it?
I looked at the artist's rendering of your building when you first made your announcement, and it is beyond impressive to look at that thing. And from what I have just heard talking to you beforehand, you've made some improvements and changes on that design for the building as you're moving along. So as you envision it now, just take our audience on a tour through that building and what you plan to have there.
I'll start a little bit. It's like truly a chicken or the egg concept. We've got this idea, and we're sitting down and trying to put something on paper so that you can start somewhere and see where it goes. And so what we had originally put out was the thought of something that was a very nice, clean, office-looking building. We're real excited about it being up along the trail and felt like we needed to bring some community aspects to it and feel like it brings the community in off the trail so everybody knows where it is. We wanted it to be kind of flashy and have a little bit of a retail showroom design piece to it. But then we also needed the back of it to be more of a warehouse function for the tenants in the building to pick up some efficiencies and store a lot of their products and supplies. We've evolved that. We had a design meeting, and we had several design meetings where a lot of key contributors sat around the table and talked about their vision and what they'd like to see. And so what you're going to see very soon is the updated renderings of the building released. And it's one of our big inspirations of design was the what's the name of that company?
Restoration Hardware. New York.
Yeah, their corporate store in New York. And so really, really, really nice looking building. And you'll see some of those, if you Google and look at that building, you'll see some of those design elements brought into the building. So I'll let David talk about as you walk in the front door of the building and how it flows into what we're calling the Community Connect Center and having a lot of open light and being very welcoming, and it's all about the culture. So
as Travis mentioned, it'll be design center first with warehousing to support the businesses in the design center. And we're really we're creating this community and ecosystem that's got to be magnetic. And so it's got to attract kids. It's got to attract their parents. It's got to attract consumers that are going to come in and, you know, shop for if they're building a new home, they can make their selections, or if they're doing a remodel, and more of a one-stop shop. So we've got that component, and then we've got a co-working piece in the Community Connect area that Travis mentioned, which will be co-working. And so we'll have desks that people can come in and use for membership. We'll have desks that people can rent, offices, and then we'll also have event space. And so we'll have this indoor-outdoor experience. We're going to host a lot of industry events. Travis, you can maybe talk about the First Fridays here in just a minute. But we're planning some arts and stuff along the trail as well.
Go ahead, please.
Well, it's all really about alliteration. And so we're coming up with the Thirsty Thursdays and First Fridays.
First Fridays.
And so we were thinking.
So this will continue on and on.
Yeah, they continue.
But, Wine Wednesdays.
Wacky Wednesday. Anyway, so we were ultimately thinking that this is all about pulling the community into the building and really making it a destination spot that people can feel like on – a Saturday morning, they're at the farmer's market just up the street, hop on the new nickel plate trail, be able to walk down, see some of the things that the trail and the amenities that they're bringing, feel like they can flow into our building and very familiar with it. And one of those ideas is that as the outdoor living area and it, from our building reaches out, that we would do a like a food truck Friday or have some type of band or something out there on Fridays. And so we're real excited to see where that goes. But if you have any alliteration ideas, I'm happy to.
People accuse my whole name of being alliterative. Yeah. But I want to ask you about the trail because when this was announced, the trail was mentioned. How much did the trail impact your decision on where to finally house this building and where you're going to put it?
I'd say very influential. As I think we mentioned, we're trying to create this magnetic space, and so it's going to have like a Google or an Apple feel to it. And I think that's a huge component for the community to get involved and be able to come in and witness those things. And so part of the building, as we walk through it, is the maker space, and that's probably the most exciting thing in my mind. And so when you walk into this big open area, this co-working and all these people interacting, you're going to have glass walls, and behind the glass walls, you're going to have all this manufacturing equipment and tooling, and you'll see people working. You know, I always equate it to as a kid, I would go watch pizzas being made behind the glass.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as a kid, you walk in there, you see sparks flying or sawdust in the air. It's like, I mean, there's going to be a lot of excitement around that. And so that whole makerspace piece is a big component as well.
And as you come into the building, it becomes very mall-like feel so that you can have the access to all the tenants that are anchoring the building and contributing to the Community Connect space. But the Nickel Plate Arts Council has also had early conversations with us about contributing to kind of also have areas where you can look through the glass or see artisans perfecting their skills and having an opportunity to also market them. So that's how we're seeing it feel as you walk through the building. And then the trails, as you were mentioning, is so important to that. There were a lot of other sites we looked at, a lot of other incentives, but ultimately with the mission of the building to be more than just bricks and mortar and be a part of the community and then also make it very cool for the kids of Hamilton Southeastern to see this as some place they'd love to go and explore the trades and advance their education, and then mom and dad to go, oh, I also know where that building is, and it is awesome, and I'm supportive of you making that decision to explore that.
It's about an environment that's creating authentic engagement versus a kid saying, hey, I have to go to school today, versus, hey, I want to go over there and do this, right? And it's the same with the parents, and so if we can get the community excited about that, the more people we're going to reach.
Right.
Okay, I was going to ask more about the makerspace. You hear a lot about that in education, in schools, but can you tell us a little bit more about what that will be for someone who doesn't understand what a makerspace is?
Yeah, it's kind of subjective onto what you have in there, but we're calling ours a master makerspace, and so we're going to have things like woodworking, metalworking, laser cutters, 3D printers. Art. We're going to mix art in there. And so we're trying to create this 3D printers, but like vinyl printers, all kinds of different manufacturing equipment, hand tools. And so the idea behind it is creating a space where people can come in and have access to tools and equipment that they normally couldn't have access to, and then create and challenge each other to innovate and be creative and make things better, in a sense, for whatever they're working on. And so we'll see a lot of innovation that comes out of the space, and that's what we're really excited about. And so as far as the tie-in to the school system, and so our idea is to create this student-run business within the makerspace so that we can give kids experiential knowledge and work experience that they couldn't get in a traditional environment.
So you're talking about having like expertise and equipment that would be able to teach these youngsters something they could get in school, but you're going to have an advanced version of that? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, they can get parts and pieces of it in school. And so we want to dovetail with the programs that the schools are already encouraging. But we're trying to, as Travis alluded to, making the community a classroom, right? So it's a partnership with industry, right? A partnership with the schools and the city to create an experience that's not out there today.
So would you think somebody who was in high school and had a chance to avail themselves of the makerspace, would that just give them a head start on learning a trade, or would they actually learn a trade during that process?
Well, it's a little bit of both. It's really about showing them the opportunity first, right, and getting them interested. And then if they have interest through industry partnerships that we'll have, we'll be able to further their educational journey from there.
Yeah, we're taking what is already being taught in curriculum in the classroom today, and as an example, algebra and geometry, and taking that and applying it to a real-life application. And this is a product-based, so product-based education where we're producing a product. And so it is 101 in some levels. You're coming in and you're saying, okay, well, this is how a tape measure works, and this is how the math of a tape measure works, and then let's apply it to some cuts, and let's see how that's going to fit into the product base, the product that is coming out of this. And then for those that are like, I love it, this is where my passion is, then we want to create the spokes that come off of that hub, being maybe they have a passion for the HVAC industry, so we're looking for some HVAC industry leaders to sponsor different pieces around this that are there for that educational next step. There might be somebody that says, you know what, I love it and I want to go to a four-year college degree and I want to go to Purdue for construction management. So we want to have the conduit or the spoke coming off the hub that goes to Purdue. So we're looking for a lot of partners to kind of flank around this. And it absolutely, it's the next step for so they'll have a working knowledge of the skills, the trade, and that's learned through the curriculum that's already being taught in schools and applied at the product, and then an opportunity for them to take it and advance it.
What about, I know there's some office space in there. Who are some of the businesses that are going to be included in this project? And do you have some tenants already lined up?
The best tenants. Yeah.
Well, you had a list when you announced originally. Have you added to that list?
We have. I don't know that publicly we're ready. I'm ready to tell the whole world who's coming, and I know they're coming. Where the building is nearly 100% occupied with pre-lease interests. But others with their current landlord situations or their business strategies may not be ready for us to disclose that. But I will tell you that we've firmed up the core shell of the building and how the maker space is flowing into the Community Connect space, and then ultimately how the tenant space will line up around that. We're starting to work through lease comments with those tenants, and then we're working into their space design. So David's company is a big leader in that. Franklin Window and Door is a big proponent of where we're going, and they've committed to coming to the building. And then Battersby Danielson Asbell is also fantastic and is going to be a part of our building as well. And there's several others that are right there.
Okay, so you can't announce them all, but all the ones that you announced originally are still with you, and you'll be adding some more then.
Yeah, I mean, think about the businesses that if you were building a home or remodeling your home, David's vision is to have it kind of a one-stop shop, so you can come in and meet all of the different types of vendors and contractors that are best in class and leading in the industry and being part of this, not only now, but also thinking about the future with the makerspace and this workforce development concept. So we get all of them to the table. That's what you're going to see there. And you could probably pick a few of those just by guessing. So
let me ask about the event center. I know there's a shortage of event space in Fishers. That's been true for several years. So tell us, you know, what sorts of events you'll be hosting there, how big it will be, and what you can and cannot do in this event space you're planning.
So a lot of industry events, first of all.
Okay.
And so the hub and spoke, being the hub of and center of the industry, right? And so we've got one of my companies is Haven Magazine, and we do cover parties 5 times a year. And so we'll host those, and it'll be 200 to 300 people at a time. But there's all kinds of industry events, from associations to real estate committees and different things that we plan on hosting, as well as community events where, you know, Travis mentioned the First Fridays, of getting people in the community in the building to enjoy music or have drinks or whatever it seems to be that people want to do, but open to ideas and thoughts around that.
Sure, and as Fishers is growing, as everybody knows, and there's a lot of businesses that are moving here, and they want to have industry events and have customers and potential clients and their partners in for different types of social activities. We agree it's hard to find the right type of space, so that went into a lot of the thought of the design of the common area of the building and the Community Connect components, and then the maker space. So there'll be kind of it'll be a very cool building to look at and see, and then also just to host those type of events in.
What's the timeline for the project? I know obviously that's going to be...
It never moves fast enough.
Yeah. Right. So do you guys have any sort of...
I'm off record here. Travis can answer.
When we can maybe see
who asked
this?
You to ask that question? We are planning on breaking ground in March. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of work that we have to do before then, but the City of Fishers has been fantastic to work with from the, like I told you, the early conversations all the way through where we are today. Breaking ground in March and delivery about this time next year. So we will be moving in the anchor tenants October, November of next year, and then kind of a formal opening sometime around 1st of 2020.
Okay. Oh, that's a fairly ambitious schedule there.
We can do it, Larry.
Well, David, I want to ask you about something just announced yesterday. You're going to be on the new Arts and Culture Commission that has just been formed by the City of Fishers. How do you envision yourself being involved in that, and why the interest in the arts in particular?
Well, obviously, there's arts involved in this project, right? And so that's near and dear to me and the community as well. So I was asked to be on that committee, and it's a brand new committee. And so I think we're figuring out what exactly we're going to do, but it's obviously to promote visual and performing arts. And I think that ties in nicely with the Hub and Spoke project we're doing here.
Okay, so basically you're waiting to see what your fellow commission members, just because you haven't even had your first meeting yet.
We do in January.
But it's January is the start, and that has to do with the state declaring the Nickel Plate District downtown a state cultural district. So that opens up a few more avenues of what you may or may not. So I assume you have an interest in the arts as well, Travis.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, me and my wife, she's really she's a big component of it too, and she also is on the Nickel or sitting for to be in a position with leadership or at least volunteering for the Nickel Plate Arts Council, and then leads. She works at Meyer and Ajum Construction, and they have they're a part of the Nickel Plate Arts Crawl Stop now, and so she's the one that's changing in and out the artwork that's on display there. So we love it. I love it that it's part of this building, and that it also it's more than just turning wrenches in the makerspace. There's so much that you can do with your hands, and love that the arts is part of it.
And that is a big part, and that's something we didn't mention about the makerspace, is it will be open to the community. And so for a membership, somebody can come in and use all these tools, and they can be an entrepreneur, they can be a tinkerer, hobbyist, an artist, and they can come in and use all these things and create and innovate. Yep. So we hope to have a lot of the products that are made in the makerspace that come out as art along the trail and be able to showcase those for people.
Do you know what you'll be charging for a membership yet?
We do not know yet.
We're figuring that out.
To be determined.
Okay, I want to ask about your relationship with the city, because one thing that Scott Fadness has always said is he wants a smart, vibrant, and entrepreneurial city. And what you gentlemen have been talking about, and what I've known about your project, it fits all three of those, checks all three of those boxes, I guess is the way I would put that. So tell me about the relationship you've had with the mayor and with the city staff in trying to put this together.
Over the years, as a commercial real estate developer, I had some interaction with the leadership at the city and even the town before that, and built early relationships, at least kind of first name basis, but never really finished a project. And so, sitting through the One Zone event and the mayor's address to the city, that's when I was like, I know I can go and make that phone call, and I know I can get a meeting, and I know he'll be interested in this type of concept, but I just didn't know if it would go any further. And so we had one meeting. It was general interest, loves the entrepreneurial piece, loves the trying to not always do things the same way and try to elevate, and loved the concept of how you're going to advance an educational opportunity for the children of Hamilton Southeastern Schools, love bringing new jobs to the city, but needed to put a lot more meat on it. And so that's what I took back to the team that was working on the project in Carmel. We've had a couple more meetings after that. They brought in, like I mentioned, Dr. Borf. That added a lot of momentum to it and a lot of more credibility. But all along the whole way, the Fishers and the business development guys and gals there have just been fantastic to work with. So
They've been just as passionate as we have, yeah, which is awesome. And it's really my first government experience. And I work with a lot of different companies, and you can see their dedication and their willingness to help. They've just been hands down awesome. So I couldn't ask for a better partner to have in a situation like this.
Yeah, no, and they've just basically said, if you are wanting to be a champion of a cause, and the cause that aligns with some goals, they'll get behind us. And so we've done a lot of the heavy lifting, but we just bring it back and show them what we've done. And they said, great. And then they'll help us make connections. And then we're gone for a little bit longer, and we come back. So they've just been really good to help support through that.
I hope you know it's going to add to the bragging rights of Fishers, because this is the first time I realized you were looking at Carmel first.
Yeah.
And then came to Fishers. People in Fishers are going to love that.
Yeah. No, it was a big discussion of the group. Or we moving from Carmel, and then ultimately the entrepreneurial support and spirit of the city and the leadership there is, was very influential in why we made the decision to come here.
We love Fishers. We live here too.
Yeah, we live
So it makes a lot of sense.
And I have a lot of friends in Carmel, so I'm not dissing Carmel at all. But Fishers kind of, they smile when they get a project that's both is looking at Carmel and Fishers, and Fishers gets it. Because it hasn't always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you'd like to add to people who maybe don't know about the project, you'd like for them to know that Sam and I didn't just think to ask you?
I mean, from my perspective, I think just we're open to working with people. So if anyone has any out-of-the-box ideas or wants to get involved in the project, on our website, you can come on, you can fill your information out, and we'll keep you informed and plug in if you want to be a part of it. So I don't know if you have anything else to add, Travis.
I'm along the same lines. I mean, this is about passion, not just passion, helping kids find their passion earlier. But it's also about those that are listening or in the community that have a passion for this industry or trade. And like David said, if you got to give us a call, shoot an email. We need a lot of people. We like to hear a lot of voices. And another thing is, everybody that we're meeting with, it's just been overwhelming, the response. It's just been like, love it. I want to be a part of it. And so we don't know exactly where it's going to end up from here, but we know that with the momentum and the support behind us, it's going to just continue to evolve in a great direction.
Anything you want to add, David? Or
said
good.
I think he said it all.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule
you.
As you continue to massage and work on the details of this project. We'll be watching closely with the new drawings and renderings that come out, and the new tenants you can't name now, but we'll name later. But anything you want to add, Sam?
No, I don't think so. Thanks.
Well, Sam Quinn of the Indianapolis Business Journal, thanks for joining me and our guest today. Thank you so much, David Decker and Travis Tucker. Good luck with
the
Hub
and
Spoke.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
My thanks to David Decker, Travis Tucker, and Sam Quinn for joining me on the podcast. For more about Hub and Spoke, go to hubandspoke.works. All written out, no symbols. hubandspoke.works. This is the Larry and Fishers podcast. My name is Larry Lana. I write the LarryandFishers.com local news blog from Fishers, Indiana, a suburban community located northeast of Indianapolis. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again.